This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Monday afternoon, the 1st of July. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. It is the week of the 4th of July, and we'll talk about America's appetite for fireworks in our next segment. But right now, reports on construction spending and manufacturing are out today, ahead of the government jobs report for June on Friday. We're joined by Tom Hudson, financial journalist based in Miami, Florida. Tom, thank you for joining us today. And let's start off with the numbers that came out today, especially when it comes to construction spending and manufacturing. More indications that the higher interest rates are really starting to bite.
We're seeing with some of these month-to-month figures on construction and, as you mentioned, in manufacturing. And I think, you know, kind of fulfilling the Federal Reserve's hopes of just turning the temperature down in the overall market in terms of demand. We're seeing that where normally we would see, especially construction spending, you know, in the springtime, late spring and May, begin to really tick up probably, but not necessarily seeing that. Not big concerns here, Rob, really, with all eyes, of course, on the jobs data coming up on Friday. But of course, also lots of talk around the political season that we're clearly in the United States, as well as overseas in France and in the UK.
I was going to say, we have the French parliamentary elections, round one, were over the weekend, and Britain goes to the polls on the 4th of July. Right. I'll leave it up to you to figure out the symbol, the symbolism at work. But it's definitely an active political season on both sides of the Atlantic. But when it comes to the fight against inflation, especially when it comes to higher interest rates serving as a brake on the economy, we're certainly seeing that in the manufacturing sector. We're seeing that in the construction sector based on the reports out today. But I think we've seen over and over when it comes to the overall inflation report that we're talking about basically two economies. It's working to take the heat out on the goods side, but it's the services side, which is where all the price increases exist.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, that's the place where the Federal Reserve Open Market Committee members have been really focused on. Raphael Bostic, who's the president of the Atlanta Federal Reserve, came out with an essay on Thursday of last week saying flatly, all things being equal, he is on board for a rate cut sometime in the fourth quarter of the year. But he's focused on a couple of items when it comes to the inflationary figures. Number one, he said the services figure really still needs to cool off. And secondly, that the inflation number does not have to be at 2%, which is the Federal Reserve target, for the Fed to start to cut interest rates, or for him to endorse lower interest rates at this point. Of course, undercutting all this, I think, is going to be the jobs market as well as the overall GDP figures. The jobs market remains relatively healthy. It's been ticking up slightly, the unemployment number, but 4% last month still incredibly low a number. Meantime, the gross domestic product forecast for the second quarter is cooling off even more. I mean, below 2% in some forecasts, which is far from an overheating economy.
And then we do have the jobs report for June on Friday. The government report, the ADP report, comes out on Wednesday. So you can spend your Independence Day on Thursday just pouring through all the numbers from the private payroll processor. But what's the consensus forecast for Friday?
Nothing says happy birthday, America, than going through the Excel spreadsheets of the JOLTS report that comes out on Tuesday as well, Rob. I will meet you at the coffee shop for us to go through that.
Say, stop lighting those fireworks. I'm reading the JOLTS report.
That's right. That's right. You know, it's still another healthy number is expected, you know, below 200,000 new jobs, but still, you know, relatively. I mean, in any normal economy, it's going to 180,000 new jobs every month. Very strong numbers, very healthy numbers. Again, not indicative of an overheating economy, nor an economy that's on the cliff of falling off.
Tom Hudson, financial journalist in Miami, Florida. Thank you for joining us today.
This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The pandemic proved to be a boon, or possibly a boom, for the fireworks industry. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Bruce Zolden, president and CEO of Phantom Fireworks in Youngstown, Ohio. Bruce, thank you for joining us today. And this is your busy season. There's no doubt about it. The last week of June, early July, this is when when you make all your money.
Thank you for having me, Rob. And yes, we are extremely busy, and the busiest 4 days of the year started today.
And then department stores used to stay open 24 hours leading up to the Christmas holiday. Is that the case in the fireworks industry? I mean, are you open 24/7 just leading up to the 4th?
We certainly have extended hours. Our hours now are 8 a.m. till 1 a.m. We like to give our people some rest, and it works out the best for us. So all the stores in the Chicago market area are 8 a.m. to 1 a.m.
We're talking with Bruce Zolden, president and CEO of Phantom Fireworks in Youngstown, Ohio. And then generally, industry-wide, what are some of the projections for fireworks sales this year, and how will they stack up compared to previous years, especially 2020?
We're projecting an increase of 5 to 8% over last year. The day of the week that the 4th falls on is very important this year. It's on a Thursday, which means a long weekend to follow, where people will be shooting fireworks and enjoying backyard picnics. But the industry has remained strong since the COVID years, when nobody could travel anywhere or didn't want to be indoors and they wanted to be outdoors. And the firework industry doubled and even tripled in many cases their sales. And that really hasn't dropped off, as people experience something that they never did before, and they enjoyed being with family, friends, neighbors, and enjoying a backyard picnic and celebrating America's birthday.
One of my good friends in high school used to live way out in exurban Chicago, and it's a suburb that has built up considerably since then. But back in the 90s, it was you and the Coyotes out in the backyard, and as a result, they would go to Indiana, chances are to a Phantom Fireworks location, load up the back of their truck, and then bring it back to shoot it off all day on the 4th of July. And back then, I thought it was an outlier. Are we seeing more and more of that today?
When I started the business, it was the same scenario. I had to travel to Pennsylvania from Ohio to buy fireworks, or my dad did. Now, many, many states are open. There's only one state, Massachusetts, that doesn't allow anything. More states are opening up. North Carolina is about to open up fully. And it's expanding in legality, because we have made fireworks safer by the American Fireworks Standards Laboratory checking fireworks from China, even more restrictive than the Consumer Product Safety Commission, so people can enjoy a safe, fun holiday when they buy from a reputable dealers.
And then very quickly, I know the technology of fireworks is fairly basic, and it goes back to China 1,000 years ago. But technologically speaking, how has the take-home consumer fireworks changed above and beyond the safety standards you just discussed?
We certainly have a lot of safety standards that make it safer, but we also now have actual devices in our showrooms where you can use your cell phone to ignite the fireworks at a safe distance from where you are standing at or where your party is or where the people are at. And these are improving every year, and we're selling more and more of those where people feel much safer igniting their fireworks from a distance of several yards.
Bruce Zolden, President and CEO of Phantom Fireworks in Youngstown, Ohio, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, a quick-charging electric battery.
This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
A British company may have found the answer to one of the biggest issues involving electric vehicles, the time it takes to charge the battery. Let's learn about it from John McElroy, automotive industry analyst and host of Autoline.tv in Detroit. John, thank you for joining us today. And electric vehicles continue to be an evolving technology, and we've talked about some of the trials and travails of the electric vehicle space, especially a lot of issues that people may have with the technology, and it sounds like this British company may have solved one of them.
There's a company called Nivolt that's a spinoff from Cambridge University. They've come up with a way that they say they could charge a battery to 80% in less than 5 minutes. Still not as fast as filling a tank of gas, but that's starting to get awfully close. Now, having said that, this is still in the laboratory. This is not something that's going into production. So even if everything pans out perfectly well, it's probably still a number of years away before we'll actually see it in electric cars.
And when we talk about the process of recharging the battery of an electric vehicle, if you don't own an EV, maybe you just see the charging stations in a store parking lot or maybe an EV charging in the garage, the driveway, and just think that's what you have to do starting the day. But if you have to charge over the course of your journey, you're going to be waiting for a little while as opposed to filling up at a gas tank where it's 2 minutes tops.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, most people who travel long distance with electric cars plan out ahead, you know, that they know that they'll be at a charging station where they're going to stop for lunch, for example, so they don't feel like they're losing any time. Or maybe they have a longer stop at a rest stop at a freeway or something like that. But you're right. I mean, if you're going to count on public charging to charge up, you're going to spend some time there, because right now it's not nearly as quick as filling up a tank of gasoline.
We're talking about a potentially revolutionary evolution in technology when it comes to charging electric batteries with John McElroy, automotive industry analyst and host of Autoline.tv in Detroit. If the five-minute fill-up battery, as it were, eventually becomes the industry standard, would that also solve the other big issue that people have when it comes to electric vehicles, which is range anxiety?
Yeah, well, I mean, the two sort of go hand in hand. Batteries keep getting more efficient. Electric cars keep getting more efficient. You know, right now, people do not feel comfortable even thinking about buying an electric car unless it gets at least 300 miles of range. Well, that's starting to become pretty common now for electrics to go 300, 300, and even 50 miles. And as the technology progresses, we're just going to see more and more improvements with this. It's still really early days. In about, my estimate, another 3 years or so, you're going to see charging all over the place, and you're going to see more than a few electric vehicles that'll easily get 400 miles range.
John McElroy, automotive industry analyst, host of Autoline.tv in Detroit, thank you for joining us today. Still ahead, why grocery stores sometimes rearrange their layout, plus a visit with our Monday stock picker.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. The Supreme Court rules in a case involving presidential immunity. It was a deadly weekend in Lake Michigan waters off the Chicago area shoreline. Grocery stores occasionally change their layout. That can prove to be maddening to shoppers. And at Stock Picker Monday, we'll get a couple of suggestions from an investing pro. WBBM Business, the markets are higher. The Dow is up 65 points. NASDAQ up 108. The S&P 500 is up 10. We have 72 degrees right now in Chicago under mostly sunny skies, going up to 76. It's 12:31, topping our news at the half hour. Supreme Court justices have issued a long-awaited ruling over whether Donald Trump has immunity from criminal prosecution. The details from correspondent Sagar Magani.
The Supreme Court has extended the delay in the Washington criminal case against former President Trump. In a historic 6-3 ruling, the court said for the first time, former presidents do have absolute immunity from criminal prosecution for their official acts, but no immunity for unofficial acts. But instead of doing it themselves, the justices want lower courts to decide just how that decision applies to the case that Trump plotted to overturn his 2020 election loss. The delay all but ends the chances that the likely GOP presidential nominee could be tried before November's election. Sagar Magani, Washington.
A 22-year-old man is dead after being pulled from Lake Michigan at Montrose early this morning. He was taken to Weiss Hospital just after 4:30 but did not survive. A death investigation is underway. It will include an autopsy. Meantime, the search continues for a 41-year-old man who disappeared in the lake off of Lighthouse Beach in Evanston yesterday afternoon. Three other people, including two teenage girls, were rescued after being seen struggling in the water. It's 12:32 as the Noon Business Hour continues. Markets are higher today. Joining us with the latest on what's moving Wall Street is Jeff Kilberg, founder and CEO of KKM Financial in Chicago. Jeff, thank you for joining us today. And before we talk about today's market activity, let's look back on the first half of the year now just completed. And at the halfway point, would you say the financial markets are operating according to your predictions on January 1st?
So far, so good, Rob. You're absolutely right. And I think, you know, at this moment in time, we have to realize the S&P 500 is already up 15% year to date. The NASDAQ, which has been an outperformer led by NVIDIA, is up nearly 20%. So I think there's an opportunity when you look at the laggard index, the Dow Jones, the boring blue chip names. I think there could be a bit of a reversion here, but our forecast was that we were going to continue to see the tech leadership. But at this moment in time, I think you have to be a little more considerate. Take profits where you can, specifically in NVIDIA. Remember NVIDIA, which is up 150% year to date, up nearly 800% when we talked about it on your show in January of 2023. I think there's going to be a bit of volatility as we see rebalances in some of the cyclicals. Some of these industrial names get favored again. Boeing, which has been a name that's been off the street for a while, that's coming back in favor. But the name that I really want to talk about today is Tesla, because you're finally seeing Tesla catch a little bit of rubber to the road after a pretty rough 2024.
And how much market activity this week, since we're at the end of one quarter and the beginning of another, how much market activity this week is the result of a response to news or economic conditions? And how much market activity, as you mentioned, is just simply portfolio housekeeping?
Well, there is going to be lighter volume, no doubt about it. With the 4th of July on Thursday, you're seeing a lot of people either sneak up to Lake Geneva or over to Michigan to get away. But I think in the world we live in, Rob, I think people are always keeping an eye in the event there's some type of callus, some type of event. But that rebalancing you're talking about, that is prevalent. You're seeing higher volume today. And I think when you look at an election year, this is the best start to an election year we've had since like 1976. And I know we have a lot of emotion and a bit of a roller coaster in the whole political world, which I don't touch with a 10-foot pole. But I think investing-wise, I think a lot of these gains have been put in. And I think it would be healthy to see a little bit of a 5%, maybe even a 10% pullback. We get conditioned so much, Rob, that we forget that pullbacks are actually normal and healthy. We just kind of forgot about that since the Fed, you know, inflated their balance sheet to over $9 trillion.
It's very interesting you mentioned the election, because one of the great things about doing this show is that the numbers have no emotion. The numbers are what they are, and it's kind of free from debate. You can interpret them, but it lowers the temperature just looking at the numbers, I believe. And when it comes to trying to game out what's going to happen economically after the election, it's uncharted territory simply because both candidates are a known quantity. Joe Biden's economic record is well known, and that's what voters are evaluating when they vote in November. But at the same time, a former president wants to come back, and his economic record is well known. So how do you factor that into predictions of what's going to happen next year?
I think that's a great point. We have the ability to handicap whichever side of the aisle ends up winning. But I think that the presidential election is kind of secondary to where we are with the Fed direction, the Fed policy, interest rate narrative, which continues to be obsessed by every investor. But I think at this moment in time, you are seeing a little bit slower growth forecast. Are we recessionary by any means? I don't think we're heading into recession, but I think it's going to be a very tough threading of a needle for the Fed to try and cut rates going into the fact that maybe they know more about the economy, because the economy is doing very well in some spots, but we're also seeing inflation. I know they're excited on this month-to-month, this conditioning that we look, oh, month-to-month, it's coming back in line. But we're seeing prices, and Americans here in the Midwest and everywhere from coast to coast is seeing prices for everything about 20 to 25% higher. So I think the Fed is trying to thread that needle, but they're going to be challenged, and that's where volatility comes, despite the fact that it's an election.
Jeff Kilberg, founder and CEO of KKM Financial in Chicago. Thank you for joining us. Coming up next, why a grocery store decides to rearrange the aisles. It can be disorienting for a shopper to walk into their usual grocery store and finds that items are in different places. Let's discuss the strategy and psychology of the layout change with Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com, based in Los Angeles. He joins us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home. Phil, thank you for joining us today. And muscle memory is a very important thing. And when your muscle memory is disrupted, like when they change the layout of the grocery store, that could be a very difficult process to navigate, literally and figuratively.
It is, Rob. There's no question. And this practice that you're talking about is something that's been going on for decades. But to be honest with you, today it's fast-tracked because of new technologies that are out there with store planning devices and different algorithms. They're able to actually pinpoint if you move, for example, the Hellman's mayonnaise up two shelves, how much sales will increase or decrease.
Now, generally, before we talk about the specific placement of items on shelves, generally, what's the philosophy that goes into organizing a grocery store? I mean, for example, my grocery store, you walk in, the first thing you see is the produce department. And is that typically the way stores are arranged? And what's the philosophy behind it?
Well, the philosophy started with Kroger in about the mid-60s, where what they did is they decided that produce should be in the front because it set the stage. Up until that point, produce was always in the back because that's where the water was. That's where things came in. And in fact, a lot of produce is still wet when it comes in, or at least it was those days, so it eliminated having to clean the floor as much. So what they did is they said, okay, let's make the produce department like aromatherapy. We have all these beautiful colors, all these aromas. It really sets the stage for that whole shopping experience, which is why today we continue to see the produce department at the entranceway.
We're talking about the layout of grocery stores and why they decide to change them with Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com, based in Los Angeles. And you mentioned that grocery companies and grocery stores and managers now have advanced technology at their fingertips to basically optimize the placement of certain items to really move them off the shelves. And I would imagine AI is now entering the picture in terms of determining foot traffic and who buys what.
Absolutely. And in fact, the company that I've been watching for a number of years is called 345 Global. And what they do is they actually can build a replica of a store. They can show where certain things should be, what the cost of labor is as a result of that, as well as consumer demographics for that individual store. So we're not talking about where the chain does something where, you know, it's universal throughout 100 or 1,000 stores, but store by store, they can base where to put root beer and determine whether or not sales of root beer will go up or down.
And then what is the cost-benefit analysis that goes into changing the layout of the store? Because I would also imagine they think about how many customers would be potentially alienated by the if there was a significant change in item placement, or does that really factor into their equation?
It factors into the equation, but frankly, for a lot of shoppers, they get confused. They say, oh, I thought it was here, but now it's here. So it really doesn't go to top of mind where they go to the store manager and they complain, which is something that we should do if we don't like the store layout, but rather they take it in stride. And also keep in mind that when they move a certain product and replace it with another product, so when we go to, you know, get that ketchup that we always got before, we see a new product that might induce us to buy that new product. So the cost-benefit analysis is bottom line, they make more money.
It's always fascinating just the amount of decision-making and data that just goes into your weekly trip to the grocery store. Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com in Los Angeles, thank you for joining us today. Join us this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday, and still to come, our Monday Stock Picker.
It's cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday. Joining us with a pair of investment ideas is Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the UpsideStocks.com newsletter in Hammond, Indiana. Thank you for joining us today. Two selections today. And Chuck, your first selection comes from the world of payment processing.
That's right, Rob. It's ACI Worldwide. The symbol is ACIW. The stock trades for about $39 a share. And you're right. It's a company that's in the software and solutions business for facilitating digital payments. Earnings and revenue should show very nice growth in 24 and 25. The stock is mapping out what I think is a very excellent chart pattern. The company has crushed its earnings estimates in the last four quarters, especially its most recent quarter. And then finally, there's been a fair amount of takeover activity in this space. And ACI being on the small cap side certainly would be something that a larger company might take a look at. So that's ACI Worldwide. ACIW is the symbol, $39 a share.
And your next selection is headquartered right up the road, right up I-94 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
That's right. The company is Brady. The symbol is BRC. The stock trades for about $65 a share. Brady manufactures identification solutions and workplace safety products, things like labeling, barcoding, et cetera, to kind of keep track of both people and stuff in the workplace. The company should post double-digit earnings growth in 24 and 25. Earnings estimates have gone up nicely in the last 60 days for both those years. The stock pays a bit of a dividend. You get about 1.4% dividend yield. I expect the dividend to continue to grow. And the one thing that's especially attractive, this stock had a really nice breakout toward the end of May and has now drifted back after that breakout. So that oftentimes presents a pretty good buying opportunity in a stock that has broken out. So that's Brady, symbol BRC. The stock trades for $65 a share. And our company and our clients own both of these stocks.
And then we're starting the second half of the year, and it's day one of Q3. And it seems like the markets are continuing to chug along. And the last time we spoke, Chuck, we were talking about some potential, how the Dow transports were certainly lagging the industrial average when it came to growth. So how's that playing into the Dow theory? What's it telling you these days?
Well, the Dow theory is still bullish as it was when we spoke last. Yes, the transports weren't behaving very well, and they have come off their lows here and probably are trading at around one-month highs. I don't want to get too excited about that, but they have shown some strength here that I think has given a bit of a reprieve to a potential for a trend change shift under the Dow theory. So right now, the Dow theory is bullish, and as long as the transports can continue to kind of trend, chug a little bit higher, I think that's good news for the overall market.
And then one last thing, put on your crystal ball or get it out, and what can we expect in the second half of the year?
You know, it's all going to depend, I think, on corporate profits, and the corporate profits are going to depend to a certain extent on the economy. I kind of think the economy is going to slow more than I think a lot of people think, which could affect corporate profits and therefore impact the economy in the second half. And again, the major tell on that will be the Dow Jones Transportation Average. And if you see that the transports peel back and start to pressure their previous lows here in the May and June lows, that would not augur well for the economy and therefore corporate profits in the second half.
Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the website UpsideStocks.com. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.